Welcome to the Pups That Play podcast. My name is Karen, and I'm a pro dog trainer and fur mom, and I will be your host throughout this journey. Together, I'm going to be sharing with you training tips, tools, and strategies to help you create a well-mannered, calm, and confident family pet. The best part is, we do it all through play. Around here, our dogs are part of our family, and we want them to live their best lives possible and have it be enjoyable for everyone involved. I am so excited to share today's episode with you, so let's get started. Hello and welcome to today's episode of Pups That Play. My name is Karen, and today we are going to be talking about action prompting, okay? This is a very important one to me because I still have her. She's not as bad as she used to be, but she was an extreme action prompter, and she still has her moments. But I had a really hard time in the beginning figuring out how to deal with this behavior. So in today's episode, we are going to dive into action prompting. We're going to talk about what the heck it is. Like, what do I mean when I'm saying action prompting? How do we stop it? How do we work with our dog to stop this behavior? Because it's not something we want. And we're going to talk about kind of the traditional way that's always been recommended to deal with this behavior and an alternative way to deal with it, because there's a good chance if your dog is anything like mine, the traditional way is not going to work. It just will not work. So let's dive right in. What is action prompting? So action prompting is our dogs kind of, you know, seeking us out and seeking out a certain action. So let me know, well, think about it. If you've ever just been relaxing, maybe you're sitting on the couch, you're ready to watch some Netflix, or you've got a book, or you're just hanging out. Maybe you sit down at the computer to do some work, check some emails, whatever it is. And your dog just suddenly comes over to you and starts to either like nudge your hand because they're looking for attention, or maybe they literally, if they're anything like Evie, straight up just start barking at you and they just will not stop. They're nudging you, they're pawing at you, they're barking at you, whatever it is, and they won't stop until you either get up and you feed them or you get them a toy or whatever it is. So action prompting, that is action prompting. Basically, your dog is doing something to prompt some kind of action out of you. So I laugh, and a lot of people joke, but it's very, very true. Our dogs become excellent trainers, and they become very efficient at training us. So there's a lot of situations and a lot of times where I'll look at a dog and their owner and they'll be like, oh, he does this, and then, you know, and then I have to do that. And I was like, wow, your dog has trained you very well, right? Because a lot of the times that happens. Like, if your dog is doing this, they're doing some kind of very annoying thing, something that we find very, very annoying, and we know to get it to stop. If we'll like, oh, okay, she will only stop if I play ball with her for a bit, or she only stops if I give her a treat, or she only stops if I, you know, do this. Your dog has trained you very, very well. And our dogs are actually really, really good at that. And action prompting is a huge part of that, okay? So action prompting can actually come in all shapes and sizes. Basically, it's any behavior that your dog might do to get you to do something. Okay, so examples of action prompting can be barking. Oh, Evie was just like the craziest action prompter, and she would use barking as her way. She has the loudest bark. She would just literally come up behind you, and it was always right when you got in the middle of something, and just bark at you nonstop with this loud, piercing, annoying bark. It was that bark that's like, I can't handle this. I have to get up and do something. And she knew, she's a very smart dog, that it would work. It might be jumping. Maybe they jump up on you to get you to do something. It might be nipping. Maybe they kind of nip at you. I'm sorry if you hear noise in the background. That's Evie just looking at me. They might be pawing. They might paw at you. They might nudge. It might be something as simple as them coming over and nudging you with their nose. They might whine. Maybe it's not full on barking, but maybe it's whining. My Sheltie used to do that sometimes. If he wanted to get our attention, he would sit there and he would just like, sorry for the whole horrible annoying noise, but it was just this like little sighing whine. It might be bringing something to you. So action prompting might be them bringing you their ball. because they want to play fetch, or bringing, you know, something to you because they're trying to prompt a certain action. It might be spinning. They might, you know, spin. My Sheltie was a big spinner. He would spin from time to time. Or it might even be stealing things, right? They might grab something that they know that they're not allowed to have, but they know that it will make you get up and chase them, right? So these are all examples of behaviors that your dog can do to cause action prompting, okay? And all of these are usually behaviors that we don't want, right? Especially if it's at a time where we're ready to get into something, ready to focus on something, ready to sit down and relax, and our dog starts doing these behaviors. It is very, very annoying. So how do we stop it? So there's two main reasons. So, like, to understand how to stop action prompting, we have to understand why our dogs are doing it in the first place. So there's two main reasons why our dogs will do these action prompting behaviors. Number one, they want a very specific outcome. They're not normally doing it just because they're like, oh, I just want some kind of attention. They're usually doing it because they want something very, very specific. I want you to feed me. I want you to take me for a walk. I want you to play fetch with me with this ball. I want you to chase me around the house. Like, it's usually a very, very specific outcome that they want. And number two, it's usually happening because their arousal levels are up, but it's kind of a calm time. So we call this like mismatched arousal levels. So your dog wanting to play fetch with you is when you're outside in the yard or at the park ready to play fetch is perfect. We don't count that as action prompting, them bringing you the ball and being like, hey, let's play fetch. When you're out in a situation ready to play fetch is not a problem. But when you're at home and you're sitting down on the couch and you're ready to just relax, read a book, watch a show, whatever it is, or you're ready to sit down and do some work, and your dog brings you the ball and is like, hey, let's play fetch. That's not an appropriate time for that, right? And that's usually because your levels are low. Like, it's a calm time. This is time to just chill. This is a time that I want you to just lay on your bed or on the couch or chew a bone or have a nap. But their arousal levels are up. They're ready for fun. They're ready to go do something. So that's usually when it happens. Their arousal levels are up, but really it's supposed to be a calm time. And that's when we get this prompting behavior, right? So how do we stop it? Well, the typical kind of floating out there advice for this kind of behavior is to ignore it, right? So think about it. If you've ever heard of action prompting or your dog kind of doing that, usually the people are like, well, just ignore it. Well, they want something from you. So if you give them any kind of attention, that is rewarding, right? It is seen as rewarding. So it's rewarding that behavior, which will make it happen more often. It's a very logical kind of process to take, right? So your dog wants your attention. So they bark at you, they jump up on you, they nudge you, they whatever it is. If you give them any kind of attention, even if it's like telling them to go lay down or something like that, if you give them any kind of attention, that can be seen as rewarding, and your dog will do it more and more often. So the only way that you can deal with this behavior, typically or traditionally, is what you've been told, is to ignore it. Okay? If you have an action prompting dog and you have tried this, if you have ignored it, think about it. How often has that worked? Sometimes it works, yes. Sometimes maybe it's their arousal level is a little bit up and we're like, nope, not playtime, go lay down, or you just totally ignore it and they give up and they go lay down, and that's fine. A lot of the times though, ignoring it only makes it worse, because then the dog's like, no, you're not hearing me. Like, hey, I want this. I'm going to bark at you more. I'm going to jump up on you more. I'm going to nudge you more. I'm going to do all these things more and more and more and more. So sometimes ignoring it just does not work, and it actually makes it worse. Okay? So if you are one of the people out there with a dog that does a lot of action prompting and you have tried to ignore it and it doesn't work for you, they just get worse, or they just don't give up and you get so frustrated, you are not alone. That is okay. That happens. Not every single dog. You're not going to be able to curb action prompting by ignoring it with every single dog. okay? There is hope, though. There is light at the end of that tunnel, and I'm going to share that with you now. I'm going to share with you what you can do instead. So what do we do instead if ignoring it isn't working? So we know our dogs are looking for a very, very specific outcome, and usually it's a very high arousal outcome. Your dog doesn't normally action prompt when they want you to snuggle calmly on the couch. You know, maybe they will like kind of nudge you gently because they want you to pet them, and you can do that and then they're okay. But usually this is more of a, I'm going to bark at you until you get up and we go out for a walk. Or I'm going to, you know, keep bringing my ball and throwing it at you and then bark at you until you pick it up and throw it. It's usually a high arousal. They want some high arousal kind of outcome. So what we need to do instead is we need to let them know, basically, like, okay, I hear you. Unfortunately, the thing you want to do right now is not available to do right now. This is not what we're doing. Let's do this instead. And then we can offer them a calm, lower value alternative. So what the heck do I mean by that? So let's give an example. Let's say your dog is barking at you. They're barking because they want to go out in the yard and play with you. They want to go play fetch. They want to go chase, whatever it is. They're barking, barking, barking. They want you to get up and go and play fetch with them. And you are trying to get something done. You're like, this is not the time. We are not going out to play fetch. It's not going to happen. So instead of ignoring it, we're basically like, okay, I get it. You want to go play fetch. That's great, but it's not what we're doing right now. So instead, let's give you a Kong, okay? Let's give you still something that they like, but a calmer activity, and it's a lower value activity, right? It's not the thing that they really, really want. It's something that still has value, so they actually will do it, but not the thing that they want. So you may be thinking, well, I'm just rewarding their behavior, right? I'm giving them something of value. Maybe it's not the thing that they wanted, but I'm still giving them something of value. I'm giving them some kind of attention and giving them something to do. Isn't that just going to reward the behavior? Aren't they going to action prompt more? Well, good question. But I want you to look at it this way. Your dog wanted a very, very specific, high value to them action or reward. They wanted something. They wanted you to get up and feed them at that exact moment. Or they wanted you to get up and go for a walk at that moment. They wanted you to get up and go play fetch with them. They wanted you to get up and chase them around the house. And that's why they stole that sock that they're not supposed to have. And they know that, right? That's a very specific, high value, high energy reward that they're looking for. They're action prompting it because they want you to do something that they love. We're not going to give them that thing. If we obviously, if we get up and then give them their food or get up and go for that walk or get up and whatever it is, that is, yes, that is rewarding. That's rewarding them for doing it. They're going to do that more often because, hey, that worked. But by redirecting them to a calmer alternative that's lower value, it actually kind of becomes more of a punishment. So we don't talk a lot about punishment, right? We're not punishing our dogs. But them not getting what they want is kind of punishing to them, right? In a non like adversive way. So they're still getting a reward. They're still getting something that has value, but it is nowhere near as exciting as what they originally wanted. So that becomes like, okay, this is okay. It's not really what I wanted, but like, I guess I can have it. So you got to redirect them to something that they do still find rewarding, okay? Because you do want them to refocus their energy on it. You want them to, giving them something that they totally don't care about isn't going to do anything. They're just going to look at it, go ha ha ha, and keep barking at you, right? So it has to be something that they still find rewarding, that still has some kind of value to it. The other key point of this is that it's usually something that is calm, something that is calming. This is why usually using something like a foodstuff toy or a long-lasting chew, those are valuable. They're not as valuable as the activity that they wanted to go do, but by chewing on something, chewing is a very calming activity. You could give them something like a snuffle mat or a licky mat, because again, licking is a very calming activity to them. It brings those arousal levels down, because you got to remember the second part of why they're doing this behavior is usually because their arousal levels are up higher than what the situation calls for. They want some kind of high energy, high arousal activity, and we want chill time. So we need to bring that energy level down. Okay, because 9 out of 10 times that action prompting comes from that place of high arousal or seeking a high arousal activity. So we give them something that they still want. It's not as exciting or as rewarding as the thing that they originally are asking for, but it still has value, so they will redirect to it, and it is calming. So we can bring that arousal level down. We can bring that down because when we bring it down, then we don't have them action prompting, because they're like, oh no, you're right, it's just chill time, don't worry about the higher arousal activity right now. Okay, so let's go through a very specific example just so we're crystal clear on how this works. So let's say you are sitting on the couch and you are ready to read a book. You pick up your book and you start reading. It's a nice calm time, you're so excited to sit there and read, and your dog comes over to you and drops a toy in your lap. And you pick it up and you're like, okay. And then you just put it down. They grab it and they put it back on your lap. Or they start to nudge you, or they start to bark at you like, no, 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 we are going to play fetch. We're playing fetch right now. So the outcome your dog wants is an exciting game of fetch. They want to play fetch. They're like, I am bringing you this toy. I want you to throw it. I want to run. I want to get it. I want to bring it back to you. This is very, very exciting. What are you going to do? We're going to redirect. So you pick up the toy and put it away. Put it somewhere your dog can't get it. And then you're going to ask your dog to go to their bed, their crate, their boundary, whatever it is. Tell them, okay, go hop on your bed or whatever it is. And then you can give them a chew or a Kong, or you can even scatter feed. That's another, like, maybe you don't have something pre-prepared, but you want to get that energy level down. Scatter feeding is a really great way to do that too, because it works through sniffing. They are sniffing out and searching out those little pieces of food, and it brings that arousal level down. So there you go. You redirected them to something they still find rewarding, yummy food or yummy chew, whatever it was that you picked, but it is nowhere near as rewarding as what they originally asked for, which was that exciting game of fetch with their favorite toy ever. That option went out the door. You picked up the toy, you put it away, they can't get to it, it's not even in their field of view anymore. Their energy levels are being brought down through a calming activity. So either chewing calmly on that chew or that Kong, the stuffed toy, whatever it is, on their bed, or on a calm on a boundary, or in their crate, or calmly seeking out that scatter feed, the food that you scattered across the floor. And it brings that energy level down. And if you're giving them something like long-lasting chew or stuffed Kong, you're burning through mental energy as well. So you're bringing that arousal level down, you're burning through some of that energy, and they're coming way, way down, and then they realize, okay, no, this is just time to chill, and we're just going to chill. So you're rewarding calm, you're building more calmness into them, so the action prompting is going to happen less and less and less. And they don't ever get what they want. So them barking at us, or jumping up on us, or constantly bringing us that toy or whatever, never actually gets them the outcome that they want. They're going to give up on it. They are eventually going to give up on it, depending on how, I'm not going to say consistent, but like persistent your dog is. It might take longer, but by bringing, like, redirecting them to that calming activity, redirecting them to something else is going to bring those arousal levels down. The lower arousal levels you're going to have with your dog, the less often they're going to do action prompting, and the easier it's going to be to get them to stop action prompting when they do it versus you just ignoring it. Right? So that is how we handle action prompting. So if you have any questions about this behavior or anything else, you can find me on Facebook at Prairie Pups. You can reach out to me on Instagram at Prairie_Pups, or you can reach out to me anytime at info@prairiepups.com. My name again is Karen. Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode, and I cannot wait to see you in the next one.